Years ago, in my former ministerial setting, the church computer shut down, and unfortunately, backup files had not been saved on remote disks. We should have had a backup plan. Catherine's old computer, it stopped running recently, and our son David, he asked us if we had saved any of the files on a doohickey. A doohickey is that thing that you plug into the side of a computer. It's the term I use, and that's how you can save data. Catherine calls it data. Dave also mentioned an alternative method of backing up files, and he calls it the Doubt Cloud. And I thought it was a joke, but you can't see it today, but there's actually a Doubt Cloud up there right now, and you can put data up there, or Catherine's term, data. I guess what I'm saying is that you need a backup plan. This is really some sermon following George's of last week, isn't it? I could see you can't, but they're all on the edges of their seats right now. They can't wait to see what I'm going to say next. The prophecy scripture, we better get to the Bible. It's from Isaiah, and Catherine just shared the prophecy scripture with all of you. And it's part of a backup plan for the beginning of Mark's gospel. And Mark opens his gospel without shepherds, without angels, no wise men. There's no star in Bethlehem. Mark, he begins with John the Baptist, first cousin to Jesus, who is supposedly the one named in Isaiah's prophecy to prepare the way for the anointed one. Who is that? Jesus. Little do we realize that before Isaiah, there were other prophets like Elijah and Nathan, kings like David and Saul and Solomon, judges like Deborah, four mothers like Ruth and Naomi, and the four fathers, Joseph, Jacob, Isaac, and Father Abraham. Who knows who prepared their way? Others have prepared the way for us in the United States of America. We just celebrated Thanksgiving a week ago. And while we honor the pilgrims, we should not forget the indigenous tribes making possible the survival of those who came on the Mayflower to escape persecution. Without the help of Chief Massasoit of the Wampanoag tribe, not to mention the Pequot, Nipmuc, and Massachusetts tribes, those pilgrims and other settlers, they would never have survived. Earlier in the month of November, Veterans Day honors those who served and who serve our country. The first Sunday of the month of November honors and remembers the saints of the Christian community. We should ask ourselves which notable figures prepared the way for us in the world. Who do we recall as those who made a difference to us, on whose shoulders we stand tall? Parents, family, members, friends, teachers, co-workers, members and friends right here, or congregation, or those virtually on Zoom. I hear people say that they did it all by themselves, achieving their successes on their own through focus, discipline, hard work, determination, commitment to the goal, etc., etc. And while mention can be made about these attributes, without others in the wings and in the background, providing the support and the backup, and that includes those living and dead, since many of us began our lives, as George Davis shared in last week's sermon, way up there near the top, then all likelihood of eventual success would have been unlikely. Do we really believe that all of those famous people in science and religion, politics, the arts, made it to the top of their vocations completely on their own? We know better, don't we? Consider all those who consistently and quietly and humbly continue to work to build the beloved community, to heal the shattered hearts, to mend the bruised world. A week ago, my family sat down together to watch a movie about the rise of the famous African-American tennis stars, the Williams sisters, Venus and Serena. The title of the movie, King Richard, speaks about those in the background, like their father Richard and their mother Oracine, and others like Rick Mackey, coaching the sisters for free, who provided the necessary environment and foundation and encouragement to get them going. And while the sisters were determined and disciplined, their eventual successes could never have occurred without the dependable support, the time and energy, the cheerleading from the wings. One can easily argue that without the nurture and support of both father and mother, little would have been accomplished. Regarding her father recently, Serena had this to say: "I love his strength. I love how strong he taught us to be, not to accept anything less than what we deserve." Here in the seasons of Advent and Christmas, what I find so interesting is that we are celebrating not only a fully mature individual, but a prophecy, a pregnancy, and a little baby. In Mark, when Jesus finally appears, it is John who oversees the baptism of Jesus, not the other way around. The arrival of the Messiah is one of humility. In Matthew and Luke, Jesus arrives in modesty, a child born in a lowly manger. Even in John's gospel, the first miracle is a modest one at a wedding feast where Jesus invites table servants to change water into wine. In each case, others are being recognized as much as is Jesus. All four gospels relate that Jesus needs other people to prepare his way. When I arrived at the Cadillac First Congregational United Church of Christ in the summer of 2015, thanks to the interim leadership of Danny Veenstra and Barb Wiedema, Penny, I said it right, Pat Ponzek, and Forrest Hoppe. And yes, there was a Barb Wiedema. She served for 4 months, I believe, a brief time in the fall and in the winter. And Forrest Hoppe, settled ministers, Carol Reynolds, Bill Hirschfeld, Christine Barton, and so many others before them. My way, it was made rather smooth. There have been a few bumps and detours on the road, sometimes roads paved, sometimes dirt roads, sometimes off the beaten track, as well as low desert valleys to descend and high, cold mountains to ascend along the way. But thanks to the leadership of previous gifted clergy, I know that I've become a better minister for all of you. I stand on their shoulders, you see. Putting aside the pastoral leadership, my way was also prepared for by hundreds of you, some who used to live in this congregation but are now present in spirit, and others who are alive today here in the sanctuary, and others who are here virtually on Zoom. It is because of this remarkable transformative ministry within relationships where we have been priests to each other, that we are a living example of the body of Christian fellowship here in the Cadillac community. The prophet Isaiah, he could have announced that he was the be-all and end-all for the Hebrew people, and therefore the penultimate savior of the world. John the Baptist, he could have also said that he was the end of the story, the Alpha and Omega, and possibly some of the people around him who were captivated by his appearance and message. They might have agreed. And yet, John said, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. That changed everything. Because who wants to follow someone preparing the way for somebody else? We're all mystified because this story, it actually continues. We can say that everything points to Jesus, who is the end all and be all, the Alpha, the Omega. But once again, it is Jesus who, with great humility and compassion, love, forgiveness, points us in a very different direction. He points us right back to ourselves as servant leaders, as people who stand on one another's shoulders, as little messiahs who remain today as his backup plan to mend this broken world. Amen.